Well, you might like to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to say a few things before we actually get there. But if you'd like to turn there, you also should have received an outline, Overcoming a Weakness with Strength. And that's a very interesting thing to even start with, because we all have weakness, and it's nice to know that there's strength available. So we want to think about that just a moment. I stand here today after a party, as far as I know, the longest inter-ministry that anybody's ever had. And that is, I didn't start out officially as interim because I wasn't there for prayer meeting for a few months because they had a student from Baptist Bible College that was part of that church, and he took prayer meeting, but he got married after a few months. But I've been there Sundays, every Sunday for 6 3/4 years. I know some church, I think my first church was about 6 years without a pastor, but they had different interns, different people came in to speak. But I was right there all that time. And so God has just directed, and they have a young man there. I say he's young. He's the age of your pastor. And if you know how old your pastor is, then you know how old this man is. Only he has one disadvantage that Jonathan doesn't have, and that is he's not married yet. Find him a bride. How's that? If you want to go back and tell him I said so, you go ahead. When I was kind of sure, you know, because we've had speakers come and speakers go, and everyone always seemed to go by the wayside for some reason or other, and I wasn't sure how this one was going to make out, but as time kept coming and they kept asking him back, I began to think maybe I ought to do a little thinking a little bit. And so I said to the Lord, I wasn't actually praying, I said, you know, I wouldn't mind having a week or two off, but I don't want to have too much time off. And I say that because between Great Valley being interim and then going to Portville, there were about 2 months. And after about a month, it was really bothering me because I didn't have any place to preach. It was really getting to me. And I said, I don't want that to happen again. I don't mind a week or two off. Well, we had just 1 week off. We were there the 7th of October. We had 1 week off. And last week, I started preaching over to Valley View Baptist Church in Little Valley. And I'm preaching there, preach there this week and 2 more weeks. And then they're going to be voting, because that's their quarterly meeting, whether they want us to become the interim or not. So we'll see how that works out. So far, it's working good. But we'll just see what the Lord does lead. And so that's what we're doing. It's kind of different going to a different church, you know. I know several people there. Oddly enough, I used to pastor at Faith Baptist Church in Little Valley, New York, which is no longer there even. Three or four families that I preached to 28 years ago, they are now in that church where I'm preaching right now. So that's kind of interesting to know. Well, so we are here today, and we are going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 6, Overcoming Weakness with Strength. I should mention also, before I pray, I'm getting much of my information from Dr. David Jeremiah's book. He's currently preaching on this series, Overcomer, and this is the book right there. And the title of the book says, after Overcomer, it says, 8 Ways to Live of Unstoppable Strength. And man, I thought that's pretty good. And I thought, man, that must be like a bulldozer, you know, unstoppable strength, unmovable faith, and unbelievable power. Wow, you put them all together. That's really great. I was sharing with Jonathan because he brings this out in his book. He has a tremendously large ministry. He has 2,200 radio stations and preaches on the radio because many of them 3 times a day, 6,000 times a day just on the radio, plus the TV. I'm sure he has a big staff to go to all that kind of thing, but nevertheless, he's a little older than I am. And I mentioned, just happened to mention this in Little Valley this morning. There's one pastor that I know is still preaching that's quite a lot older than I am, and that's Charles Stanley. He's about 85, but he's still going strong, so you never know how things are going to be. Well, We praise the Lord for that. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll dig into the text here. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and just want to thank you for the fact that we can become an overcomer. I just pray that you'd guide and direct us and help us, that we would all experience great spiritual victories, and we'd want to give you the praise and glory for it all. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just begin by saying, and although we're not covering this tonight, Dr. David Jeremiah in his book starts out with the greatest Old Testament overcomer, and he talks about David and Goliath, and that tremendous victory when the giant started coming towards him, and David ran towards him to get the very perfect position, and he let that stone go in that sling, and the giant came tumbling down. And it's interesting, you know, the giant went face down. Oh, that's really humiliating. Well, he was more than humiliated, he was dead, right? And then at the other end, in the New Testament, the greatest overcomer is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he went to the cross, and he suffered and died, and he was resurrected. And you know, because of his victory, we're already in the position to become an overcomer. We just need to have that as a practice in our everyday life. And so as you think about it, we're coming from already a position of victory, because we are on the winning side by knowing the Lord as our Savior. Well, as we think about Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start reading here at verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." When you think about the word finally, it gives you some kind of conclusion. And so what was Paul talking about earlier? He was talking about the husband and wife relationship, which is a great relationship, but it is a relationship where we need the Lord's help there, same as we do in other places. And husbands, love your wives, and a wives being submissive to your husband. That takes grace and power. Then it talks about the children, too, and how they're to be. And then it talks about the work relationship, because that's most everybody has some type of work relationship, you know. And so how do they respect their employers and all those type of things. And now he says, finally. And so he's basically saying, you got these things kind of in order. Now here's something else you need to think about and need to do. It says, finally be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You notice there's some blanks here. And the first one would be, finally, my brethren, put the word strong in there. And I want you to put it in there, because that's the one that we're talking about you being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The scripture also says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Acquit, or it means act you like men. Be strong, you know. And my son, my youngest son, is a pastor in Obi, and he has a son. His name is Lucas, and they came over to our house, and we own our own home now, and we burn firewood. We have all kinds of other heat too, propane and pellet stoves and all kinds of things. Lucas was always telling his dad how strong he is. So we came over there working. I guess he was going a little slow or something. And David said, come on, Lucas, come on. You're always telling me how strong you are. Let's see, lift these pieces of wood. You know, you're talking about strong, you know. And so young men like to think that they're strong. I didn't mention this at the other church this morning, but I'm so proud of our grandson, Lucas, because he has cancer of the eye, and at 15 months he had an eye removed. Well, this year there's a special deer hunting season for junior hunters, and a guy took him out from David's church, and he happened to be walking along, and he saw this deer up there, and he had borrowed this guy's 270, put the scope on and dropped the deer right there. And so he's 14 years old, and I was really great to thrill to see how he could do that, and God directed him, so he thinks he wants to be a lifelong hunter. So maybe he will. Whatever his dad likes to do, he seems to like to do, which is a good thing, that's for sure. Well, so we need to be strong. And then notice there's another word. It's the word stand. And you notice you find in verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you read also in verse 13, take on you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, and then verse 14, the word stand. So four times you see the word stand. Concerning the word stand, there is a illustration in the study guide that David Jeremiah has about a man that was out somewhere, I forget just where it was, but he came in contact with a mountain lion. Well, first of all, I don't ever want to come in contact with a mountain lion. But he came in contact with this mountain lion, and the mountain lion apparently was quite close, and he just kept staring at the mountain lion. The mountain lions, the way I understand, try to get around behind you and bite you right in the back of the neck and break your spinal cord and all this, and you're done for. And so this man kept standing, and I'm sure that if the mountain lion turned to one side, he would turn this way and keep looking at the mountain, keep looking at the mountain lion. And you wonder what the end of the story is going to be. You think I'm going to say that the mountain lion chewed him up. No, the mountain lion after a while went away because the man stood there and did not run. He just kept doing the only thing he had. Apparently he had no gun or anything, just kept staring at that mountain lion. The mountain lion eventually gave up. I don't want you to go out in the woods someplace and try to find the mountain lion and see how good you'll do at it. Just take my word for him. That's what to do. Take a stand. And so why it says take a stand is we're not Satan seekers. We don't go walking around life trying to find the devil somewhere and trying to see if we can smash him, you know, or defeat him in some way. Don't worry. He's like a flyer mosquito. You know, they always come around, and you got to swat them, try to keep them away, but they keep coming back. Well, so we just stand. We would like him to leave us alone, but he says, not on your life. Not on your life. Why is that so? If you read further in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells you down in verse 20, for I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, when you get saved and you're in a right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, then Satan views you very much as an enemy because he's afraid you're going to tell somebody else. And somebody else might get saved through your life. So he wants to shut you down so that you're very ineffective, very weak, and very powerless, and that's what he tries to do. So we don't have to seek him. He'll seek you, that's for sure. We just need to stand. And notice it says further, the question is, will you stand? That's for you to put in that word. Will you stand spiritually strong? And you know, talk about the things we stand, you know, whether it's at work or home or wherever it might be. A lot of times there's nobody else around but you against these wicked temptations and working of Satan or whatever. So you're going to be there, and you've got to make the decision to stand. Now, the Bible says many similar things in many places, and notice it says in Joshua 1:9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I've just mentioned that you know that Joshua had a very big job to do, and he had to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. It's a very, very big task. But do not ever think that even though you don't have any big, huge task like that, that somehow your life is unimportant, because it is not. Whatever you're doing and trying to live for the Lord, it is a big work. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. And so we need to be strong and of good courage, not to be afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Dismayed means broken down by confusion or fear. And the devil likes to do that kind of thing. So it says, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. But did you know he was with you? Did you know the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So he is with you as well. Isaiah said in Isaiah 26, verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. It's nice to have some really powerful strength, isn't it? And he's the one, everlasting strength. And 2 Timothy 2:1, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace saves a person, but God's grace also helps to keep the person as well. Be strong in the grace, the unearned, merited favor of God. Be strong in that grace that is in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Now, there are four ways which are brought out in this book, which I'm going to emphasize, hopefully in my own way. But the first thing we need to do is receive strength from His Word. Receive strength from His Word. Psalm 119:28 tells you this. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to thy word. Word goes in that blank. Strengthen me according to thy word, the Bible. I have found, and hopefully you have found as well, that when things aren't going too well, you come to the Bible and you find some verses and you find help. And thank God for that. I'd just like to mention, although I'm not a salesman for this, you know, I used this Bible over to Little Valley this morning, and one of the men after come up to me and said, I didn't know you were a salesman. I said, well, I'm not trying to sell you this, but, you know, sometimes people, either their eyesight are poor or some other things, you can get one of these wonder Bibles, and you see they're quite small, and they are relatively loud, plenty loud enough, like if you're driving your car or at home or something, you want to listen to the Bible, maybe you know, some people will maybe go to bed early and try to read a book or something. Well, you could play this, and this is the King James Bible, and there's a battery in it, but it doesn't need charging very much. They give you a cord, you got to get an adapter and plug it in. And so I guess they said I was a salesman because it was $39. And so I know how much it is. You want to know, David Jeremiah's total set, if you buy all the DVDs and everything, is $75. But I'm not a salesman for him either. But anyways, it's nice to know there are some tools that will help you. Really, what was nice is sometimes you can put that Bible recording on and follow along with your Bible. Particularly, you get in some of those names, they're harder to pronounce. Nice to let the guy that got, let him pronounce it. And maybe that would be of help. Well, anyway, so certainly we've got to be strengthened through His Word. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15:16, Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. In 2 Timothy 2:15, there's a word that you need to put in there. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study is more than reading. Reading is certainly the basic thing, but the scripture says study, meaning put something into it. Put something into it. Take some time to try to digest the passage if we would think of it in that way. I think about it as it says in Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee, because you don't always have a Bible with you. But if you have learned a verse or two or three or four or five or however number there are that you have worked on, you can press recall or rewind and dry it up here and it comes out to you, and it's a help. And I mentioned being in the ministry a long time, maybe 40 years ago or 35 or so, I started writing bunch of scripture verses on 3x5 cards, you know, put the reference on one side, the words on the other side, and I had a file of that, and I did learn lots and lots of verses. Now, I can't say as I remember all of them, but I would tell you this much. If you've learned a verse, a lot of times later on in life, you'll be reading, and you will say, oh yeah, I remember I did learn that. I did learn that. And so it's a very valuable thing to try to learn scripture. It'll be a great help in your life. A second thing is we receive strength from worship. And, you know, attending church is more important today than it used to be even, because it says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day of Christ. How is it? Are people more open to Christianity and those type of things today than they used to be? They are not. We're considered the bad guys. The bad guys. But we're not. But people are not overly friendly and becoming more and more hostile towards Christian beliefs and practices and things of the Bible and all of those things. So, we do need to worship all the more. And notice this verse of Scripture, Psalm 21, verse 13. Be exalted, O Lord, in thine own strength. So we sing and praise thy power. We have somebody that's worth honoring all the time. You know, we think about people and we honor them and various things, and we ought to do that. But you know, none of them are perfect except the Lord. If you turn to the other side of the page and notice as it says, as we worship the Lord, we learn by experience that he truly is greater than any object that may be in our pathway to keep us from being an overcomer. Now, I want to just mention about that overcomer part. It doesn't mean, you know, that maybe you have some financial crisis or some physical crisis that's going to, you know, all of a sudden disappear completely and never be there again. But it means that we're not burned down and stressed out over whatever situation. Somehow, we realize through God's help that yes, it is difficult, but yes, I know my Lord is with me, and yes, I know a better day is coming. That's what we think of when we think about an overcomer. We think about, as it says in Psalm 95, verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. God, you know, in the 6 days of creation, made everything. On the sixth day, he did the best job, because that's when he made people. And people have the opportunity to worship the Lord, because we have an intellect, an emotion, and a will. We're like God, and we have that opportunity to do so. And no matter how nice your pet may be, that pet does not worship the Lord. They do not worship the Lord. But you can. But you can. As notice also it says there, 1 John 4, 4, ye are of God, little children, the Lord overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's also a passage that you might want to turn to for just a moment. It's Romans 11, and I have it already down on a paper that I'll just read from there. But if you notice Romans 11, 33 through 36, this is sometimes called the Roman doxology, and I want to read you what it says, and you'll be taken by the greatness of the wisdom of your Lord. It says this in Romans 11, 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? You know, when you stop to think about what things do you know that you didn't learn from somebody else? Not much. I'm sure I learned things from my parents. I'm sure I learned something in school, although I have to tell you a little humorous story. When our second son went to kindergarten, he came home that first day, and his mother said, what do you learn in kindergarten? He says, everybody knows you don't learn anything in kindergarten. What a brilliant scholar he must have been. That's what he said. Now, if you're a teacher, don't get offended. But that's just what he had to say as a little kid. But, you know, isn't that true? And nowadays, people learn so much about so many things out of the internet. Last year we were grinding horseradish, and we'd made it before. We hadn't done it in a little while, and so at the time our grandson was living there, so he pulls up on his phone how to grind horseradish, you know, when you grind it up and then you put water with it, and if you let it set longer, it gets a little stronger and so on. And you know, you put the vinegar in and put it in the jars and all that kind of stuff. But if you've never done it at all, you just, I don't know what guy, whatever, or woman, ever would want to put about grinding horseradish on the internet or something, but they do. They do. And so, but who's been the Lord's counselor? Who advised him? The answer is, when you're perfect and know everything, nobody needs to advise you. Or who has first been given to him that it shall be recompense unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. That's quite a sentence there. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. That'll cause you to worship as we think about all things are from him. Now third, we receive strength by waiting. And we'd say that doesn't sound quite the way I would think about it, but nevertheless, it's true. And notice printed there for you is Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. If you want to turn to the book of Isaiah with me, we'll notice this passage, a couple of passages actually there, but Isaiah chapter 40, 28 through 30. Isaiah 40, 28 through 30. Isaiah 40, 28 through 30. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. We may get tired because we are in the flesh, but he doesn't. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment in the fourth point. But them that have no might, he increaseth strength. And then he gives an example, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. I haven't done it in several years, but for several years I took teenagers to various activities and so on, you know. And, you know, they would, if it was maybe like the Portville Retreat, you know, that's probably the most famous thing that Portville Baptist Church is known for having those Portville Retreats, and they went on for about 40 years, something like that. Not anymore, but you know, whether they went there or they went farther away, you know, they would stay up late at night and everything, you know, and then they would, and, but you know what? Most of those kids would be asleep in the back of the van or the car all the way home, and the driver stays awake. Think about that. That's the way it is, isn't it? So even young people will get tired after a while. But it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's you. That's me. You renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's pretty high. They shall run and not be weary. Wow, great. They shall walk and not faint. And then notice I have a note there. The frantic pace that many people's lives live does not allocate time to strengthen their spiritual life. And you know, particularly if you are a younger couple, and maybe you have a couple kids, and one's in varsity sports and one's in junior high, or you have a boy here or a girl in this or something. I mean, some people are just on the road continually, going here, going there, or whatever it may be, grandparents to go to all different things, and jobs and everything. I mean, you can be just as busy as, you know, sometimes we think we've made a lot of progress, you know, over the horse and buggy age. But the horse and buggy age, I would guess probably didn't do much after the evening chores were done, maybe 6 o'clock or whatever. They were done for the night, but people aren't today doing so many things. But my point is this. If you don't take some time for some quiet time and allocate it, actually plan to do it, it's not going to happen. Because you got to do this, you got to do there, you got to go shopping, do this, that, whatever it is. It just isn't going to happen unless you make up your mind it is going to happen. You have to do that. And so it says, do you have a daily quiet time? You put in there, yes, no, maybe, hope so, whatever. Concerning quiet time, there is another verse that I'll just read for you in Isaiah chapter 30. It's verse 15, and it says this. Excuse me. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Notice it says there, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. A quiet time. But it says something here, but apparently those whom Isaiah was writing to didn't want to do that. They didn't want to do that. It says, and ye would not. But quietness and confidence shall be your strength. How much we need a quiet time. Also, another way of waiting is, do you take time to pray? Yes, no, hope to. There are verses we could think about. I'm going to add one, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. Matthew 26, verse 41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you dial often 1-800-HEAVEN? And you know, when you dial that, you're not going to get hold. If you want to talk to somebody about this, press 1. Or if you want to find out something else, press 2 or 3 or 4. And you're trying to figure out, you don't know for sure which category you go on. And finally, it may say, well, if none of these fit, then stay on the line. But the Lord is right there to hear and answer your prayer, either yes, no, or wait. And if he says no, he loves you, even though you may think you have a better answer. And then the last one, we receive strength through weakness. And this doesn't sound like it should be, but nevertheless, that's what it is. If you want to turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is about the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it's verses 7 through 10. And it says this, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Remember, Paul was next to the Lord Jesus Christ, a great, great man, and some things that the Lord taught him directly. Keep in mind, he did not have a Bible like we did, but particularly talks about the communion, and it says there in 1 Corinthians 11, for I have received the Lord, that type of thing. And so because of all these great things, perhaps Paul could have got, and I don't say he did, but could have got maybe a little bit proud over that. So he said he was given a messenger of Satan to buffet him or slap him, lest he should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. We don't know exactly what it is. It may have been poor eyesight. And I say that because there's a verse of scripture, and I should have looked up just where it is. It says someplace, and see how large a letter I write. And you know, as you get older, a big print Bible is a lot of help. You got a little space around there, the letters are bigger, and it just seems so much better. Maybe that wasn't the problem, but something was, some irritation to him. And so it says this, he besought the Lord thrice and prayed about it, and that's what you should do, right? If some difficulty, you should pray about it. That should be expected. That's what you should do, and that's what he did do. And here was his answer that he received. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And notice there printed in your outline, this is part of the quote, Charles Spurgeon, remember the great preacher in London, England, many years ago? He said, God does not need your strength. He has more than enough of his own. And, you know, we kind of smile when we think about that. And isn't that true? He's the powerhouse. He doesn't need my strength. He desires to take your weakness. And everybody has weakness, whether it's mental or emotional or whatever it is, or physical or spiritual. He takes our weakness and uses it in his own mighty hand. And so he says, I'd like to help you, and I can do it. And so as we come to the end, there are just two things to think about. What's God's response, particularly to this area here about this weakness? God's response is Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, what should be my response? He's saying, I got the power. I can help you. How should I react? Shouldn't I react, as it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Why do I need strengthening? Because I'm weak. Why do you need strengthening? Because you're weak. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That is all things he wants me to do. I don't have to do everything. But there's some things I can do, and he wants me to do that. So, as you think about overcoming weakness with strength, that's a great thought, even to think about it. And how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have a systematic way of getting into the Bible. Not just, you know, when I first started, first of all, I didn't read the Bible at all, and I got kind of convicted how to do that. So I would have my Bible on my dresser before I'd go to bed. I'd open it up someplace, and wherever it opened up, that's where I read. And I did that for a few months. After a while, I got to thinking, wait a minute. It seemed like I'm opening up the same places a lot, and I read 4, 5, 6, 10 verses, whatever it is. And sometimes if I went in bed and forgot about it, I'd jump out of my bed, and I open that Bible's on my dresser, you know. It wasn't very systematic, though, was it? There's a better way. But nevertheless, we get strength from his word. We get strength from worship. And we get strength by waiting. And we also receive strength to overcome our weakness. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We pray that we might be great overcomers because we're in the all-time champion overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Guide and direct us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.